Good to be with you today. We trust the Lord will bless as we turn to the Word of God. We're going to read from the book of James, chapter 4, and we'll read the closing verses, well-known verses. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And it is these words we want to consider tonight. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We'll end there at verse 17. We know the Lord will bless his word. We're going to join in prayer together, and let us seek the Lord for our meeting tonight around the word. Father in heaven, we thank you for the meeting. We thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the great hymns of faith. We thank you for praise being able to be brought to thy great name. And we pray now that as we take time around thy precious truth, its message and its truth will burn into the heart of each soul. Particularly we pray that the word of God will take hold of those yet out of Christ. We pray, Lord, that whatever their circumstances, whatever their background, that this evening their attention will be focused only upon what the Lord would have to say to them. May this be the night that they will take heed to thy truth and thy word, and that this evening they will be drawn savingly to the Lord Jesus. Help us now, we pray. Give that power and enabling grace, the help and power of the Holy Spirit, as we seek to have our thoughts directed to the Lord Jesus, his truth, his word. We ask this in his great name. Amen. I leave with you those words again that we read in verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is a wonderful thing. We see life in the harvest. I'm sure the children at school oftentimes identify the various pieces of life, an apple, orange, whatever, flower, and they make a study of its life and they note its characteristics. And we learn in school what happens when the seed goes into the ground and then the plant grows, and we see the various cycle. And we rejoice as believers in what God hath placed into the world and how all of creation, though it is stained with sin, nonetheless we rejoice in the stamp and the mark of life that God has put upon the living things that are around us. The Word of God here asks a question about our lives. What is your life? Oftentimes in the Bible, it has much to say about the handiwork of God in our very life. We're fearfully, we're wonderfully made. The doctors can testify to the marvelous nature of life and how we trust that there are believing doctors. We don't believe in evolution, but there are believing doctors, and they marvel at the handiwork of God in how we have been created. And throughout the Word of God, references made in this, and I've already quoted one of the Psalms. But more often than not, the Word of God directs our attention to a very solemn part of our life and what it actually is. And that's what this passage here is doing. What is your life? It is, we're told here, even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There are many people, of course, today, and they like to try and evaluate their life. Or some will say, well, life is a marvelous, wonderful thing. And it's good to be able to make your stamp upon society, to leave your mark, as it were, upon it, and to look back across the happy memories that you have in life. Other people go to the other extreme. And of course, when they seek to answer this question, what is your life? They get very depressed. They see so many disappointments. Sadly, there are those who have gone to the extreme of taking their own life, because when they've asked the question, what is your life? Then it has brought them to a place of great despair and great disappointment, so that they've said, well, I may as well bring it all to an end. Well, the Word of God will bring you to a different place. It will bring you to face reality, but it is that we would realize that our life being so precious, being so important, we then need to realize that our life is in the hands of God, and that we should be making sure that when it comes to eternity especially, that soul which we all possess is right with God, safe and secure. So while the statement here is very solemn, it is very, very important. And so this evening, as we think of your life, what is it? Please bear in mind what the Lord wants you to know about your life from this passage. There are three words in particular in this verse that I want you to consider tonight. The first word is life appearing. We're told here, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. So, yes, there's an analogy here. The Word of God is saying, your life, it's like a vapor. We know what that's like. We see the mist in a vapor, how it can quickly disappear as soon as it is seen, because of a change in temperature, a chemical reaction, whatever, the mist can appear and then it can simply disappear. And the Word of God is saying, well, that's like your life. It appears. I'd like to say some things that the Word of God says about our appearance in this world. First of all, can I remind each one, this is our only appearance. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Sadly, there are many who are rejecting Christian doctrine, the teaching of God's Word, and they're giving themselves to all sorts of opinions and ideas, particularly from Eastern religions. And it's very popular among many today to think that somehow, well, we will be reincarnated. We will come back again, perhaps as something else. Well, the Word of God teaches us. God Himself has told us. It is appointed unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we say this because we must recognize the importance of this appearance of our life. It's so important. We appear, we should also point out, by the hand of God. I mentioned already, we're not evolutionists. We don't believe that somehow we're here by chance. In the book of Acts, when Paul was preaching on that occasion, he reminded his listeners, in Him, the God that you have already testified you know nothing else because you've got this image erected to the unknown God or inscription to the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about this God. In him we live, move, and have our being. Our very next breath is held in the hands of God because it was he who first put breath into us. This is the teaching of God to your heart and mine. Our appearance in this world is not a matter of chance. It is because God, in his sovereign will and purpose, brought us into being, made us, caused us to be born, caused us to sit right in this very meeting. All things are held by the word of his power. I was speaking earlier with some of the folk, and we were just commenting on our society. Isn't it a sad day that we live in? Because increasingly in the Western world, there's little consciousness of God. If you spoke to many, many people and talked about God, they would nearly say, well, who is he? There was a time when most people recognized whether or not they were believers in Christ or not, they would recognize they were under the hand of God. I trust that is the case in this service this evening. You recognize God's word to your heart. You are not a product of evolution. You are not a product of chance. We, each one of us, are in this world. We appear because God brought us into being. And it is God that maintains the very life that we have while here upon earth. Our appearance in this world is a matter of utmost importance in light of eternity. Let me turn you to a scripture. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in John's Gospel, chapter 5. And there are two verses there I want you to notice. John 5 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Remember what we said earlier? We live in this world once. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ now. And he's speaking about what takes place in regard to eternity. That body that is laid into the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ says, the dead will rise. But there's a difference. Here we read of those who have done good unto the resurrection of life. But then we read, but they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. How important, therefore, our appearance is upon this earth. Remember our brother, Sam Houston, one of the first cassette tapes that he made, he gave his testimony on it. And I can remember him saying his thinking, and his thinking was, well, are we not just like a fly? If you put your foot on it, it's dead. That's it. There's nothing more. God's word says something very, very different, which of course he had to accept. We have a soul. One day, there's even going to be a resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking about this day, and he's saying that there are those who will be raised again to eternal life. That is, every believer in Christ And what a great comfort that is to the heart of every child of God. But then there are those who will be raised again unto damnation. The Bible speaks about eternity. And it speaks about a hell. It speaks about a place of eternal wrath and punishment, where all those out of Christ, all those yet in their sin, go. Do you see how important it is? Our appearance upon the scene of time. We can't pull ourselves, as it were, out of this theater and say, nothing to do with me. Every one of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. And there is an eternity to be faced in consequence of our appearance upon this earth. I trust each one recognizes this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I trust that these words will take hold of your heart tonight. This life that you have here now, it's so, so important. Can I ask you, how do you value it? The question is asked here, what is your life? And yes, it's speaking specifically of the time element, the brevity of it, which we're going to consider next. But just to stop there and think of a broad question about your life, how do you value it? Some people value it by the experience of life. And they try to content themselves in the happy moments that they've had in life and the memories that they have. Other people evaluate it by their wealth and by their riches. The rich man, of course, thought he had much. He said, I will say to my soul, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives the true value of our lives. And it is in reference to eternity. He says these words in Mark's Gospel. Listen carefully to what the Savior here says. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See what the Savior is doing. He's reminding us here about our appearance, yes, upon this earth, but there's a consequence to it. Where will our soul be? What is your life? We have a soul, and that soul must go into God's eternity. Are you making a right evaluation of your life in the light of the Word of God? Are you going to falsely content yourself in wealth, riches, experiences in life, and have no reference to your soul and its eternal welfare? You need to realize, what is your life? We are a living soul, brought onto the scene of time by the hand of God. And our soul must one day face God. The Word of God is seeking to face us up to the truth. Second thing, as I said, we would notice is the idea of the brevity of life, which is in this passage. It appeareth for a little time. I want you to consider those two words, little time. We know the analogy with the vapor. We mentioned it earlier, the vapor appears, doesn't it? But as soon as it appears, it vanishes. It may loom large at times. It might be very fascinating to look at, but it's there but for a brief time. And here the Word of God is seeking to impress this fact upon our heart about our life and what it is. Psalm 90 tells us we spend our years as a tale. that is told. Sometimes there's very long stories and long tales told, but they come to an end. Most stories are brief. And that's the analogy that the Word of God is using here to describe our life. It's described as a meditation. It's a very brief thing, isn't it? A thought. Just a thought comes into your head and you dwell on it perhaps for a few seconds and then it goes. And quickly, if someone asked you, what were you thinking about? You mightn't be able to even to answer. So brief. Job, he said in chapter 7, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. We know that if we have any experience of the old time of the shuttle and the weaver's loom. From one side to the other it travels, just once. Swifter than a post. We're told in the 9th chapter. Testimony of the oldest saints of God is interesting to read, isn't it? I think of old Jacob as he stands before Herod. He's 130 years of age. We have a lady in our church and she's reaching 100. Another lady who was a mother to two of her members. She reached almost 102. We marvel at that age. And it's amazing to talk to those individuals and think of the years that they've had. The dear lady in question, by the way, she was told, wouldn't it be good for you to get to 100? And then she said, well, what then? She was bright as a button. She realized, or I said to her too, well, you're not likely to see 200. But what an amazing thing to reach 100 years. Well, here's Jacob, and he talks to Pharaoh about his age, because the Egyptians didn't appear to live that long. And here's Pharaoh looking at this very old man, and he wonders, marvels at his age. And Jacob says, of his years few and evil. The days of my pilgrimage are 130 years, he says. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. When we start to think about time, we find it very difficult to look forward. For instance, if you're told of an event down the years, let's say 10 years, seems such a long time, doesn't it? But look back across the last 10. Being in Banbridge, I'm not too far away from where the Whitfield College used to be. And so oftentimes I'm driving by the gates that are still there and I think back to the day that I walked into that college. It's over 40 years ago. And I think how quickly that went. But yet if somebody were to say to me, well, you'll live another 40 years, I very much doubt that. But it'd be very difficult to quantify it, if you like. It seems such a long, long way away. But looking back, everything seems so swift. Time has passed. And the Word of God here is trying to seek to impress this upon hearts. Your heart, my heart tonight. What is your life? We're like the vapor. We're here for a little time, that's all. Then I want you to think of that word vanisheth. It's very important in the verse. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanisheth away. The scripture here is speaking about our death. Old Adam, our Adam was told, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And no return. We noted that from words stated earlier. We're here once upon this scene of time. And if the Lord spares his return, then we will die. Ecclesiastes 12 says of man dying, man goeth to his long home. Then speaks of our spirit returning unto God who gave it. And thus we read, and then vanisheth away. Vanisheth away. The word of God here is seeking to make us wake up, to realize that we are upon the scene of time once, we will die, and then we will be no more upon the scene of time. We vanish away. That is our body. Given that we have such a little time, given that we are here on this earth but once, isn't it so vital that we make preparation for this soul? The Savior said, this soul so precious. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? He might gain much of this world, he never gain it all, but he might gain a significant part of it. But as it says in Ecclesiastes elsewhere, he will have to leave it all behind. In fact, Solomon speaks of the vanity of it all because it may be left to a fool who will waste it all. And he therefore speaks of the emptiness of life and the vainness of it. The Word of God is constantly reminding us, therefore, of an eternity to face. And the Word of God here is doing the same to you and I. Therefore, how vital it is that the welfare and the safety of your soul is secured. A warning is given in this passage to remind us that there were those who thought of each day it will come to us. But in verse 13, the warning is, today or tomorrow, they say, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? The Bible says elsewhere, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. To warn and to remind us how important it is to have our soul right with God. Have you made preparation for this? You ask, well, how do I do that? God marvelously, wonderfully has made preparation. There are many in this meeting, they're saved. A day came in their life when they were caused to realize their sinfulness, the corruption in their soul. Realize that if they died, then their soul would go out into eternity and it would be without hope, without Christ, and it would be in an eternal flame. But they were caused to realize something else. There was a Savior, one who went to the cross of Calvary to pardon and forgive, to purchase that pardon through his precious blood to cleanse from sin. There's the answer for the soul. The answer for the soul lies in the person of Jesus Christ and his saving work. Then your life is preserved. Its whole life, body and soul. The believers in this meeting take hold of the Word of God. Throughout Scripture, we're reminded of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded of a glorious resurrection. We're reminded of heaven. We're reminded of the great eternal fact that in Christ our soul is eternally safe, and our hearts content and rest ourselves in Christ our Lord and Savior. And we can say on the authority of God's word, all is well. All is well. For eternity, through Jesus Christ alone and his finished work, your life, in its entirety, will be preserved only in Jesus Christ, fleeing from wrath to come, fleeing unto the Savior, and coming to know him, take in your heart this subject of your life. Realize you are here but for a little time. Our life is but a vapor. But praise God, though we are here but for a little time, what a glorious prospect there is for all those who are in Jesus Christ. Will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you get to him? Will you confess your sin, repent of it, turn to Jesus Christ, start on the road to heaven? Oh, I trust the Lord will take his word tonight, write it on your heart, bring you to himself. May God bless his truth and his word to each soul.